This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into the Fan Morning Show pre-show for this wonderful Tuesday. Victory Tuesday. It is. Crowley, you got those things for Victory Tuesday?
Oh, you know it, baby.
Morning after, right? So there's that. Colin Dunlap alongside Chris Mack. Doran's off another day. He'll be back tomorrow. Adam Crowley, he's doing his job as well. There's so much happening. Check us out on video, 937thefan.com, right there at the top. You can see us. And there's a Watch Us Live link. And bang, oddly enough, you watch us live if you click that. Also, the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. I used it yesterday to listen to a bunch of stuff from the pregame show with Adam and with Paul, and then got caught up. It was great. You can go back up to 72 hours, so there's that. And if you've got a smart speaker, which I also used yesterday, you just say, Alexa, play 93.7 The Fan, and wham, Alexa, oddly enough, plays 93.7 The Fan. So let me do that for you this morning. Alexa, play 93.7 The Fan, so there's that. With that, I say good morning to you guys. How is everybody?
It's wonderful. How are you?
Great. Never been better. Crowley, good.
Victory Tuesday.
It is Victory Tuesday. Amount of people, I was thinking about this, as we don't really talk sports, but, you know, it's just after the game. The amount of people who go right to bed as soon as the game's over, or the amount of people who stay up after and take in some more things when there's a work day, a definite work day. The next day. I kept playing that in my head.
I think if you got to be at work before, say, like 8 o'clock or earlier, you got to be at work. I don't think you're staying up to like consume any post game stuff. If you've got a 9 o'clock or later start, then you definitely feel the freedom to stay up a little bit and watch Tomlin from the podium or Pickett from the podium or whatever it may be.
Marty said to me, and before you get into this, Adam, Marty Griffin at the urinal, we were urinating together, urinals.
Yeah,
so Marty and I were standing there and we're talking, right? Which is always a great place to talk because, you know, you got that person. You can ask whatever question you want and they can't really escape. So Marty and I were talking about this and he brought it up. He said that he's too jazzed up. Right after a game that he can't fall asleep. Win, lose, draw, it makes no difference. He said he was tossing and turning, and he probably got about 2 hours of sleep because after a football game, he just has so much energy and aggression. And like, he's a gigantic Steeler fan. Lifelong Pittsburgher.
If the Steelers were 8-3 after their win last night, I would have been the same way.
Up. Yeah.
If this was a team in the playoff race, I would have not been able to sleep last night.
Yeah, I would have looked at standings. Yep. I would have thought about, oh, if this season ended today, who would they play? All that stuff, yeah. I'd be looking at other teams' schedules maybe or just running it over in my head as I laid there and tried to fall asleep. But after last night, I was comfortable just laying down, bang, head, pillow, sleep.
Oh, I was out. I may have dozed off in the fourth quarter. Who's to say? But I had zero trouble falling asleep last night. I went back to my bedroom, turned off the TV, and I was out within 15 seconds, guaranteed.
The key for night games is the TV in the bed. Then that way there's no transition time. You don't have to – there's none of that.
We have removed the TV from our bedroom.
This is a story. Go.
Well, it's disastrous, really. And it's because I would fall asleep with Mountaineer basketball games on or Maction because I'm a degenerate gambler. And my wife says it ruins her sleep and it ruins our pillow talk time. And I agreed. That's fine. Get it out of there. But on nights like last night, there's nothing I wanted more than to just turn TV off and be immediately asleep.
Yeah, it's dangerous for me to watch. We have a TV in the bedroom that rarely gets used, but when it does, if I use it for a night game like that, there's a good chance I'm falling asleep. I'm already laying in bed, even if it's a Steelers game and I'm jacked up for it. I'm in bed. That's sleepy place, you know? So I avoid it at all costs. I watch it downstairs and then drag my sorry butt upstairs to go to sleep.
See, I'm a big TV, and if I don't watch TV much of it at all, but when I do, I watch it in bed.
My concern was that I had my phone charging in the other room, and sometimes I don't like to be on Twitter during the game because I like to form my own opinions. I was afraid I was going to fall asleep on the couch, and then, uh-oh, my phone's in the other room.
You don't have any plugs in
Don't get the alarm.
Near your bed?
No, not near the TV where I was in my great room, as we may call it.
Huh.
Or from this point forward, I guess we'll call it that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass to plug it in is what it is. Because we got the couch there and the outlet's behind the couch, and I have to move the couch. No good.
You should get one of those things.
Like a little charging station or
yes.
something.
Yes.
Have you seen those commercials for like the Love Sack that the couch, you plug the couch in, and then you can just set your phone down on the arm of the couch and it charges your phone?
Oh?
Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
I like that.
There's a thing in my car that you don't plug it in. You just set it on the thing. It freaks me out.
That's what my charger is, because my phone doesn't plug in anymore.
Yeah, mine doesn't charge. Like I don't know if it's the thing on the bottom of the phone and I got to just get a new one, but the charger doesn't actually work when I plug it in anymore. I got to set it on one of those charging
Me
pads
too.
Or else
this
it doesn't charge.
That is one, and now that we're talking about this is one piece of technology we should be much further along. The ratio of time between charging, now it's gotten insanely better. And this is a problem with electric cars too. The ratio of time between use and charging should be, the difference should be much even wider. Like, for every 6 hours, say 5 hours of use on your phone, it should honestly only take 12 to 15 minutes to charge that battery.
It still takes
way too long from a ratio standpoint to do that. And this is one of the problems, I guess, with the electric cars that people say. Like, it takes
too long
to charge.
Ooh.
A range on that car can be, you know, I don't know.
Like 500 miles,
yeah,
1,000 miles?
385 miles, 400 miles. And sometimes you have to wait, you know, 5 hours, whatever it is, for that car to charge.
Elon Musk can shoot John Travolta into space, but we can't charge our phones faster.
Right.
How about some practicality here, folks?
I didn't even use mine a lot yesterday, and I had to set it on the charging pad halfway through the day so it could juice back up, so I was ready to kind of keep an eye on things while I was watching the game.
Now, if you do read, it's gotten better. Like, you think about the first cell phone you had, it was not this good. It wasn't charged this fast and didn't hold the charge this long. You could see the battery pretty much disappear. And there weren't this many functions on your first cell phone. So think about the functionality of it. It's doing more things and holding its charge longer and charging faster. But still, it should almost be some sort of Jetson situation happening.
You're right.
You should plug it in. And I bet if they really want, it just probably would be cost prohibitive at this point. Still, it'd be too expensive. But you should be able to charge it in, like walking by through the airport, right? And put it in, 4 minutes.
Yep.
Bang, you're there.
Part of me wonders, too, if they already have the technology. Like, how many iPhones in advance are they, apart from the one where they're releasing to the public?
Yeah.
They're probably on iPhone 26.
Like,
what are we on, 14?
I always wonder that. Like, is Elon Musk, he doesn't have the same phone number like we have. You don't call him the same way you call us. Like, he doesn't give you his phone number. And he doesn't have the same charger that I'm putting in, you know, between my bed and the wall.
He probably leaves his phone out in the sun and it charges.
He's
up.
Got, like, prototypes of stuff that, we can't even imagine yet.
Oh, remember the airplane that crashed in Maryland that we talked about yesterday? That crashed into the high wires, okay? There was, and I didn't hear it, I just saw it. They had the transcribed portion of it on the national news, some of the radio calls. So the radio transmissions from the plane, the guy radios in, he goes, I'm stuck in some high wires. So then these actual words were said. The plane calls the on the ground, like the fire and rescue, the plane calls the 911 center. The 911 center then needs to relay to the fire and rescue and says, we need to get out there and take care of this plane. The guy is stuck up in the tree. He actually said these words, the 911 dispatcher to the fire and the police. You're not going to believe this. Those were uttered on the 911 tapes. It has to be one of the few times in history that a 911 operator used the words, you're not going to believe this. Because aren't they faced with a bunch of things that the common man will never believe if you told him that?
Take three of the most ridiculous scenarios you could ever dream up, roll them into one, and I can guarantee that's just an average call from most 911 dispatchers. I have a couple of friends that used to do it. One that still, I think, works down there. And they just, the stories they have, like, there's a snake wrapped around my hot water tank. It's about to explode. And my girlfriend is also holding me at knife point next to the hot water tank in case it explodes because she found out I was cheating on her with a second cousin. Like, all of that rolled into one is just an average 911 call.
We had that person, we played it from North Carolina, called 911 because they didn't think that their pork was cooked enough.
And that wasn't even a, you're not going to believe this, when they called the police. They're just like, can we get the officer out there to check this out? But when the plane was stuck in the wires, they said to the policeman, hey, you're not going to believe this. Man, they got those I did see the video of the rescue yesterday.
Would they crane him out or something?
Now, here's, and I still have a lot of questions. They put a guy on like a big cherry picker that had a platform in a box, much like you would see the Duquesne Light guys, but it was a big one, okay? And it could hold, it looked like six people. Like it was almost as big as this desk, the thing on top of the platform. But I wonder, okay, there had to be two different things at play. They didn't just send the Duquesne Light guy up there, or whatever Duquesne Light is in Gaithersburg, Maryland. They had to go up with him because they're not trusting that guy to extract somebody from a crashed airplane.
Right. That's not his gig.
Right. They're trusting that guy to make sure the wires don't juice people. So he probably had to go up with a fire and rescue person or like a some kind of rescue person and then some kind of doctorish kind of person. And those two people don't generally intermingle all that much on the scene, maybe after it's all done, but not as it's happening in an emergency.
Yeah, I guess your rescue person could also be your EMS person, but either way, you still got multiple people in this giant bucket going up there to yank people out of a plane. It's bananas.
It was. I saw it, but then they didn't show them taking the person out of the plane.
Oh, no.
And they didn't give an update on if that plane is still, what do? Just knock it out of the sky? They pull it out gently? I just would knock it out and let it fall to the ground.
Yeah, it's not like you can get a tow truck up there.
Right.
Yeah, what do you do in that situation?
Knock it out, let it fall.
Yeah.
How do you knock it out, though? Like,
or you let it, you just clear that area and say, a wind will knock it through.
Just wait 6 years later.
Right.
It's still dangling there.
Like a frisbee in a tree. Yeah. Your Nerf football in a tree. We ain't climbing up there.
You know
it'll
those falling
out.
Rock signs on the highway?
Right. Just
falling plane.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye out.
There was one time that we had all these balls that were up on a roof of this building. It was the old Fort Pitt Brewery, by the way. That was, and it had this glass block, said Fort Pitt, that's it. And we would roof these balls on accident. You'd be throwing them because we play off the wall. Well, one time a roofer went up there, and he was like, hey, and he was working as we were still playing on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, are these your kids' balls up here? And we're like, yeah. We were like 8 years old.
Thousands of them?
He dropped them down and was just throwing them. There must have been 80 balls up there. And it was like heaven that we finally retrieved all in one fell swoop all these balls that we had thrown up on that roof by accident. And they were like those pink rubber balls that you would get at the store.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Because we play off the wall, which is a big game. Big game. Oh, I just think about that. But I don't know how you get the – how do you get it down with a crane? It can't be gentle. Just knock that plane down.
Someone climbs up there and just pushes
just
really
gives
hard.
It a push?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been stuck there for a few days now. I don't think it's an easy push. And boom, it falls.
It must really be lodged in there.
Yeah.
Which is good for the survivors.
Right, but good,
not good
for getting the plane out of the wire.
Clean up purposes. Electric guy. Now they got to go rewire all that.
Are they still all out of power,
I would imagine. No, I think they got temporary. They rerouted it. Like, they're okay. But then it'll be out for a little bit. You're going to have to reset your clocks, all that kind of stuff. Microwave's going to blink because the guy doesn't know how to fly. Oh, man. Oh, goodness.
I can't get over that story.
I can't get over the pictures.
The pictures are fabulous.
They're it's like a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
And 911 guy's like,
hey, it looks like something that they would do in a movie as a toy miniature and then shoot it with a camera to make it look life size. Like, oh, get the toy plane and put it in the little pretend wires.
Right. It does. It looks like a railroad, miniature railroad display. Like you would do that and go, oh, look at this. Anyway, lots going on. 7 o'clock, Cam Hayward we hear from. Can't wait for that. Shelby Cassesi, This Hits Different. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, all in the 8 o'clock hour. It's Steeler postgame for the most part. Steelers win 24-17. We talk about it. We take your calls, too. Good morning.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.